got a watch, so you check.
So Rabbi Yitzchak, after the introductions of the last few days, we know the story of how it happened to be that Yehoyosh was a seven-year-old baby, and he'd been hidden in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years, unbeknown to his grandmother, Atalia, who thought that she had killed all the male heirs of the dynasty of Yehuda. She thought there was nobody left, and she ruled with an iron hand. She was an Ovedes Avodah Zorah, and she spread Avodah Zorah. She was a wicked lady. The Pasuk describes her as a Mirsha'as, which I presume means a lady who causes evil, who spreads evil. So, Atalia rules for this thing. And now we get to the actual Haftorah. So the Sfadim will start tomorrow with Vayichros, not tomorrow, on Shabbos. They'll start with Vayichros Yehoyodo, which means that Yehoyodo, the Kohen, doesn't say Kohen Gadol, but maybe he was, but Yehoyodo HaKohen, who's married to Yehosheva, who is the daughter of Atalia, so he's the son-in-law of Atalia, they were the ones who had hidden Yehoyosh in the Beis HaMikdash for 6 years, and now Yehoyodo organized a rebellion against Atalia. And the Psukim explain in Shmuel and in Divrei HaYomim how he organized it, and he got all the Levium on his side, and he got all the he got the army in, and he protected the doors, and he protected everything around. And then he made a bris with Klal Yisrael. One bris was that the Klal Yisrael would return to the Ribono Shel Olam. They would restore the Avoda of the Beis HaMikdash, and they would return to the Ribono Shel Olam, and they'd become Orthodox Jews again. That was one bris. And the other bris was that they would become loyal to the king, the heir to the throne, the heir to the throne of Yehuda, which was Yehoyosh, this child, this seven-year-old child. They organized the coronation, which took place in the Beis HaMikdash, or the ruins of the Beis HaMikdash, as it was at the time. And they brought out the child, and they put him on a throne, and they put a crown on him, and there was dancing, and there were celebrations, etc., etc. And Atalia, the queen, heard all the commotion and the fuss, etc., and she came to see what was going on, and they explained to her, she saw the king there, or the child king, with the throne, sitting on the throne, wearing and everybody had pledged their allegiance to the king, and they were dancing, and there was music, and there was celebration, and Atalia shouted, Kesher, Kesher, which is translated as treason. She said, everybody here is a Morid B'Malchus, everybody here is Chayav Misa. They had her on the instructions of Yehoyodo. She was arrested, she was taken out of Beis Hashem, and she was executed on the spot. And then, that's the end of the introduction where the Sfaradim finish their initial four Pesukim of the Haftorah, and then we all take over together, and we start off Ben Sheva Shonim Yehoyosh B'Molchoy, that when Yehoyosh became king, he was 7 years old, he was guided and instructed by Yehoyodo HaKohen. Yehoyodo was the one who had saved his life, together with his wife Yehosheva. And Yehoyodo HaKohen guided him, and it says that as long as Yehoyodo was alive, Yehoyosh was a good king, and he was loyal to the Ribono Shel Olam, and he was loyal to the Avodah of the Beis HaMikdash. As long as the Yehoshua doesn't, I couldn't find out, I couldn't really see how long Yehoyodo lived, but as long as Yehoyodo was advising the young king, he remained a loyal and a true and a firm and an organized king, and he restored the Avodah on the Beis HaMikdash. It says that they destroyed the Temple of Baal, they murdered, executed the chief priest there, called Matan, his name was, and they, etc., and they restored the Avodah to the Beis HaMikdash. Now we get to the point where we're beginning to discuss the connection with Parsha Shkolim, because the Beis HaMikdash was in disrepair, and they needed money in order to repair the Beis HaMikdash, and Yehoyosh started to organize a campaign in order to raise funds, in order to restore the Beis HaMikdash, and to restore the Machtzis HaShekel, annual contributions, which hadn't been taking place during the rule of Atalia. And in that, we come to the connection, obviously, with our Haftorah to Parshish Shkolim, that the Shkolim were reinstated in the lifetime of Yehoyosh after being abandoned completely during the rule of Atalia. And there was an organization and a program to rebuild or to restore the Beis HaMikdash. We'll finish the story tomorrow. So, this week's Torah Way. Have we got a poster?
I'm just thinking that.
I need a poster.
Awesome, Yankee.
What?
Awesome. Can I do it, Yankee?
You can do it.
There's no date.
What?
Thursday.
Thursday, the 12th. Where's my poster?
The Yankee.
Yeah, I've got it. Okay, fine. Torah Way, Northwest London. Thursday, Chof Hey Shvat, 12th of February. Speaker is. Who's he?
Yanky Wiesenfeld,
who's speaking not entirely on the subject as posted, as advertised on the poster. There was a little bit of confusion over the title because I once gave a series of three shurim on the subject of Ashrei, which were called Awesome Ashrei, and it was number one, two, and three. And somehow or other, the printer assumed that my next shiur would be Awesome Ashrei number four. But in fact, the title that I gave to Josh last week to be advertised was When Should the Rabbi Not Speak? And that would be part two of a shiur that I gave a few months ago. But it has a connection with Awesome Ashrei as well. This week's Torah Way is sponsored. By my family, Wiesenfeld, in Neshmas, my father, Zichroi Lev Rocha, Rabbi Yitzchok Ben Rabbi Yaakov Wiesenfeld, whose Yahrzeit will be on Shabbos in Yitzchok Hashem. And today is the Yahrzeit of my wife's mother, Olea Sholem, my mother-in-law, whose name was Chava Devoro Bas Reb Simchi Yisrael Dick, whose Yahrzeit is today. This week was also sponsored Lichvoid, the birth of a son to family Josh Weiler, and the Shalom Zocher was last Shabbos at 63 Brampton Grove. Okay, obviously I'd like to thank Josh for asking me to speak, and it's an opportunity for me to give respect and honour to my father, Zichron Levrocha, and to my mother-in-law. I'll just remind you a little bit, very briefly, we'll run through the contents of the first shiur, because most people don't remember it anymore. Even I don't remember it. So if we run through the first contents of the first shiur, but very, very briefly, so that we can move on to what I left off the last shiur, saying that next shiur we'll discuss the following things. So about 16 months ago, and about over there at the back of the Beis HaMedrash, we were learning Mishnah Berurah, Hilchos Shabbos, in Simur Reish Pei Dalet, with Reb Gersh and Dunner. And we learned Halacha, and I asked him a question. And he said, interesting, I don't know, I'll look it up, I'll find out. So next day he came back, and I said, no, did you find an answer to my question? And he said, no, I haven't found an answer yet. So the following day, have you found an answer? So he said, no, I haven't found an answer. He said, I'll tell you what, he said, I suggest you give a Torah Way shiur on the subject. And that's where the shiur was born from. That's where the shiur came from. I want to give credit to the sources of the shiur. Reb David Zulzbacher Shlita, who is one of our really good speakers, he usually speaks Erev Yom Tov. Reb David Zulzbacher gave a shiur on this subject in Monks over a year ago, and I've listened to the shiur, and that gave me a number of sources of what we're going to be discussing. He quoted a Tshuva, which was written by Diane Osher Westheim, Zeicher Tzadik Levrocha, from Manchester, and I've seen the Tshuva as well. And therefore, those are my sources, if you like, for the subject and the subject material.
What is the subject?
It's a simple matter, right? It's a halacha subject. You don't need any prior knowledge, and it'll be easy to remember, and it's interactive. You'll be able to help me out and participate. Just one more hakdama before I get to it. And this is like the Archers, you have to wait. Yeah? You have to wait. It's part of the excitement. I just wanted to finish with one more Hakdoma, and that is, sadly, the last time when I gave part one of the Shia, I started off by expressing the hope that the Hachona and the Limud and the Shia would be a schus for the Refuah, of Dudy Yitzkovich, the Chayin Levracha, Yosef Dov Ben Chayla at the time. And sadly, this year he's no longer with us. But one of the things that he regretted, he was a very confident person, generally speaking, he was very confident in things that he was doing. But one of the things that he always regretted during his lifetime was that whilst he was the devoted founder and organizer of Torah Way, on most days he was unable to attend this year in person. Because of his business commitments and later on because of his health commitments, he himself, he was doing it all for us, but he was unable to attend himself. But Chazal tell us that the Neshamas come down to participate in family simchas, and we're Dudi's family, and there's no greater simcha than Limud HaTorah. So we assume that his Neshama is here with us, and that he is now a committed regular to Torah Way in Golders Green. And as I mentioned at the Hesped, he's probably started the Torah Way in Gan Eden as well. So, okay, the subject is, Charlie, yeah? The subject is, when should the Rav speak on Shabbos morning? The Rav's drosha, when should it be? Okay? And we what we said last week, Bekitsa, in order that we can move on to some new, well, not last week, but last year, was we divide, let's take the second half of Shachris, divide into three sections. The first section is Kriyas HaTorah. Kriyas HaTorah, the Maftir, the Haftorah, the Birchus Haftorah, until Mekadesh HaShabbos, Mekadesh Shav Azmanim, or whatever it is. You get to the end of the Haftorah. Then you've got a section two, which is from Haftorah until Ashrei. And we've got a lot of things to add in at that time. We've got a lot of things that we want to say and that we want to do and that we want to introduce during that period from the Haftorah until Ashrei. From the end of Haftorah until Ashrei. Last time we reckoned out altogether, I think, 17 items that we might slot in between the Haftorah and Ashrei. I'll just give you a few of them, or run through them very quickly. Yikum Porokon, twice. Amisha Berach for the Tzorach Hetibo, for the Oiskim B'Tzorach Hetibo Be'emunah. On Yontav, there's Kol Keili V'Goyali in Nusach Svad. The Misha Berach of the Toysis Yontav, which Chazkel says every Shabbos Bevolchin, for those people who don't speak during davening. There's a special Misha Berach which is said. There's He who giveth salvation unto kings and dominion unto princes. Yeah, there is the prayer for the queen, the royal king, the royal family, and for Eretz Yisrael, and for the soldiers of Eretz Yisrael, for those people who do those things. There's Mevolchin HaChodesh, right? Shabbos Mevolchin, we do between the end of Haftorah and before Ashrei, is Mevolchin. In Shuls where they do Kel Moli Rachmims, they do that, again, after Haftorah, before Yizkor on Yom Tov. The Yizkor on Yom Tov is also before Ashrei, yeah? Then we say Avarach min Shoichem Aroimim, also before Ashrei, every Shabbos, unless there's some reason why not, and after Yizkor. There's a Mishaberach for those people who are going to be fasting this week, Bahab. Yeah, the Sheni v'chamishi v'sheni, they fast after Sukkot and after Pesach. There is a Mishaberach for the Misanim Bahab, which is said loud in many shuls. If there's a Bris Mila on Yom Kippur, then that's done before. We had that a couple of years ago in Sassaf. Before Ashrei, everybody went out to the place where the baby was, and they made the Bris Mila at that time. Tkiyah Shofar. Tkiyah Shofar always is before Ashrei. In fact, the end of the psukim that they say afterwards finishes off with Ashrei. Yeah, so that's before Ashrei as well. Tkiyah Shofar. And the Beheter brings down that there was a Misha Berach that they used to say for the Kavronim, for the Chevra Kadisha. There was a minute to say for the Chevra Kadisha. So those are basically most of the things that they say before Ashrei. Okay. Then comes Ashrei. So I've got a slot now, which is slot number three, from saying Ashrei Yoshrei Vesecha Oijal Luchoselo until Chadish Yomeinu Kikedem and Kaddish. So between Ashrei and the Chatzi Kaddish before Musaf. And there, we've got a whole load of things that we insert there as well. What things do we say? First of all, in some shuls, according to the Levush and the Prima Godim, the Mishaberach, for those who are saying the Tanis, who are keeping Tanis Bahab, Sheni V'chamishu V'sheni, is said there. In Tiferes Yisrael, during the war recently in Eretz Yisrael, they introduced to say Achenu Kol Beis Yisrael, just before Yehallelu, but after Ashrei. Again, you need to think why Dafka there.
Like in weekdays.
Right? There was a public Mishaberach V'choylim, which is brought down by the Prima Godim, and we'll see that in a moment inside. Then we say, Yehallelu Hashem Hashem Ki Nizko Shmo Levadoi, Hoi Da Leretz V'Shemoyim, Mizmo Ledovid O Ledovid Mizmo, Uvenucho Yoyma, and that can take 20 minutes if the Chazan's singing Ki Lekach Toiv. Yeah? And then, in most shuls, comes the Drosha of the Rav. Before Musaf, after Chadesh Yemeinu Kekedem, the Gaba announces, Please, will everybody sit down? The Rav is about to address the community. And then, on Rosh Hashanah Yom Kippur, we have Hinani Ha'oni Mimas. Right? Before Kaddish, but after Kaddish Yemeinu Kedem, the Chazan says this long tefillah of Hinani Ha'oni Mimas, which could also take a long time. On Simchas Torah, we've got Sisu V'Simchu B'Simchas Torah and all the Psukim and the Piyutim. All the names of Moshe Rabbeinu and etc. Moshe Somach B'Simchas HaTorah, and this one Somach B'Simchas HaTorah. They're all said then, right? And then comes Kaddish.
Amongst you say it before.
Okay, fine. It can vary. These things will vary with the Minyanim, with the Tzibur, right?
One more thing. If you don't remember, in our shul in Grove Lane Shul,
yes,
before Musaf, the Chazan monk went on the bimah, he banged, and he complained he'd been offered a raise, and he hadn't got it.
Right. Do you know why I remember that?
You remember that?
The reason why I remember that is because I listened to my last shir, yesterday. Online, and you made the same point. You told everybody then, a year ago, when I gave the shir, that in Grove Lane, there was a slot there for the Chazan to complain about his wages. Okay, but in Grove Lane, Tucker, the Rav gave his drosha. Now, let's have a look a little bit, briefly, at the halacha. We're looking at the halacha that triggered all this, which was the Siman Reish Pei Dalet, which are the halachas, Hilchas Shabbos, from the Haftorah onwards. And there's no mechaba on it, but the remorse says, "V'nagu lahaske achakriyas haTorah nishmois amesim is the kema lirachmims ulavorech hoiskim betoche tiva beemunas the mishaberach that we say." Yeah, he's saying from haftorah onwards, kol mokum lefimin hogoi, and then you say yikum pokon. He says, and there's no issa of tchina b'shabbos because of that. Yeah, and then you say avarachmim. If there isn't, if you wouldn't say tikkos chatzedek, then you wouldn't say avarachmim. He says similarly, if there's a chasno mila, v'yesh b'kom b'sheino m'moyso, shavuach in achodesh b'levat, b'me'asvi, etc. So he mentions a few things, the remor, of the things that we say after Ashrei and before Kaddish. This is before Ashrei, yeah? Now, the Ba'ahetev says, bar golim shenoyngim loyma mishabech lekavronim, yeah? He says that on Yom Tov, when there was a minig to make a mishaberach for the Chevra Kaddisha, Yoimroi Koidim Ashrei. Right, the Be'ahetiv says that you should dafka say the Mishaberach that you want to say for the Kavronim, for the Chevra Kaddisha, before Ashrei, Shaloi Lahafsik Bein Kaddish L'Ashrei. There seems to be an inyan not to make a break between Ashrei and between Kaddish. Says the Mishnah Berurah. Yeah, Acha Ashrei Lo Yoima Shum Dovo. He says, after Ashrei, you're not supposed to break for anything. Because the Chatzi Kaddish that you're going to say before Shmoneh Esra, Koi al Ashrei she'oma b'tchilo. It goes back on the Ashrei that you said. It belongs to the Ashrei. V'al kein ein lahafzik b'neihem. And therefore, you're not supposed to make any break. Says the Mishnah Berurah, but we say, Yehallelu, Hoi da le'etz v'shomoyim, Mizrael Dovid, and Uvnucha Yoima. Yep, Yehallelu, Sha'omrim, Ein Hefzik. But he doesn't say why. He says these psukim that we say when we return the Sefer Torah, when we put the Sefer Torah back in the Oron HaKodesh, he says it doesn't say. Umash and Ishtaveva Minik, and he says there is a Minik, Shekeshiyesh Choyle, that the Chazan holds the Sefer Torah after Ashrei, and he makes a Mishaberach. There was obviously such a Minik around at the time of the Chofetz Chaim. Vaim a Mishaberach. Umafsik harbe ben Ashrei leKaddish shelifnei, and this mishaberach for the choila is going to be mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish. Zukta shaloi kedin hu. Mishnah Berurah says that's a mistake. You shouldn't do it. You shouldn't break.
Yeah.
The psukim that we say, Venuchayeme, they're all to do with putting the same Torah back.
Yes, but in fact,
it's not exactly an unrelated concept.
It's not related. It's related to the return of the Sefer Torah, right? But Ashrei and Kaddish are supposed to have no breaks in between, right? So why don't you say yes? So exactly how you're supposed to do it? That's really the question. And the question that I asked Rabbi Donner at the time was, yeah. So why do we break four? I mean, there are a number of other things I just mentioned that we do, but besides those, mainly the Rov's Drosha. So people told me the Taka in monks, they changed the minig. There was the original minig in Germany was that they said the rabbi gave his drosha after Chadish Yomeinu Kekedem, but I think it's either a Feldman or a monk, I'm not sure. Somebody changed the minig, and he said that because of this Mishnah Berurah, and because of the Baal Hetev who says that you're not supposed to break between Ashrei and between Kaddish, therefore, we won't give the Rav's Drosha anymore between Ashrei and Kaddish. We'll say the Rav's Drosha before Ashrei. So now, when the Rav gives a Drosha, then that's said before Ashrei. And I think David Levy at the time said, the Chein HaMinig in North End and Adas as well, that they do the same thing there, that the Rav gives his Drosha before Ashrei. So I said that next time, B'li Neder, we'll look at the different Minhagim. I found five Minhagim as to when the Rav gives his Drosha. And we'll look at some of the advantages and the disadvantages of each one. So the first one is, the Bachasidim in particular, generally speaking, the Rav gives his Drosha before Kriyas HaTorah. Right? Before they take out the Sefer Torah, before Ein Kamoicha, the Rav gives his Drosha then. Yeah, in most places, most Chassidish places, yeah. That's got what here as well. In an Oil Moshe as well, the Rav speaks before Kriyas HaTorah.
Yeah, in monks the Drosha, it's after, Menuchayoma. Say the Torah is put back, Drosha, and then Ashrei before Kaddish.
Ashrei after?
Not what you just said before.
Sorry, what do they do?
They finish till Menuchayoma.
Kaddish Yemeinu Kekedem.
Say the Torah away, and left out Ashrei.
Yeah.
After the Drosha, Ashrei and then Kaddish.
Ah, so then they omitted Ashrei from earlier.
Yeah.
They omitted Ashrei earlier on.
That's right.
Right. So, I can cope with that. Let's work it through, okay? First one, before Kriyas HaTorah has got all the malas, right? The you're not being mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish, clearly, because Rav's is the thing of. The people who come in late disturb the drosha, but they don't disturb Kriyas HaTorah, which is very nice. And the main thing is that the Sefer Torah is still inside the Aron HaKodesh. Because there's an inyan maybe of a bizoyan when the Sefer Torah is out during the drosha. It's as if the Sefer Torah has to wait for the Rav. And in fact, unfortunately, in some cases, the Sefer Torah has to listen to the drosha. Yeah, so therefore, it's nicer for the Sefer Torah that the Rav is speaking and the Sefer Torah is inside. Okay, and this is a mini chassidim, I think, and it seems to comply. It seems to tick all the boxes. The Sefer Torah is inside; it doesn't disturb anybody, and it doesn't disturb between Ashrei and what's called the minig to say the drosha after the Haftorah, right? Say the drosha after the Haftorah, but before you carry on with before Ashrei, yeah, that obviously helps because you're not being mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish, because you're not being mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish. But on the other hand, the Sefer Torah is out, so therefore, if you consider that a bezoyan, the thing of it. The other problem with the way that they do it in monks, which you've just explained to me, is that they've got the mala that the Sefer Torah has gone back into the Aron HaKodesh before the drosha. But the problem with it is, first of all, that each week you don't know in advance what's going to happen, right? Because it means every week you have to find out, is there a drosha? In which case, I'm not saying Ashrei now, I'm going to be saying my Ashrei later. So I've got to skip Ashrei. It's almost as if they have to make an announcement that today there is a drosha, therefore we're not saying Ashrei now, and we're returning the Sefer Torah to the Heichal now. Yeah, so therefore, in a way, and that's one thing. And the second thing is, it's actually changing from the age-old minhag. It's very rare in a place like monks that they should change the minhag. right? But it was the age-old minhag to do it like it's printed in the Siddur, if you like, to say Ashrei before Yehallelu. And now they're doing Yehallelu, returning the Sefer Torah, and say Ashrei afterwards. So first of all, they're changing an old minhag. And secondly, the people in advance don't know, unless they make an announcement or there's a poster saying, this week we will not be saying Ashrei before because there's a drosha.
Fine.
Half of them are halfway through Ashrei, and then the Chazan shouts the Hallelu. Yeah, some of them started Ashrei already.
Ending off Avarachim.
Yeah. I'm only thinking about it, right? You still have a difference from one week to the other. One week we do it like this, and the next week we do it like that, etc. Which seems like a what's called. Okay. The minhag ha'olam to say it after that the rosh should give the drosha after uvenu chayoma, yeah, and like achali shemer kedem and ask the olam to sit down, yeah, is the chayor seems to be the worst of all stories, yeah, because you're mafsik between kaddish and ashrei, and there's another inyan which comes up there, which is that when you say the drosha, assuming that the drosha was an inspiring drosha, or it was a pilpul, and it's like, it promotes thought, then if the drosha is very close to Shemoneh Esrei, the person can be reviewing the drosha in his mind and thinking about what the Rav said, and trying to give an answer to the Rav's kasha, and he started to daven Shemoneh Esrei. So it could be that there's a disadvantage that when you say the drosha at the end of the tefillah, just before Musaf, that the person can have the drosha in mind. If he's not listening, it doesn't matter. And if it's very light and it's very, you know, not too complicated, and a simple vote on the Sedra, maybe it doesn't matter. But it's brought down that's one of the things that the drosha just before tefillah could be mevalbel, could disturb a person's kavona. In Sasev, they introduce the minhag, which is that we say, we finish off Mizmor LeDavid, and then, before Uvnu Chayoma, they make an announcement that everybody's asked to sit down, and they say the drosha before Uvnu Chayoma. So the Rav says his drosha after, but the Sefer Torah is still out. The Sefer Torah is still out, yeah? They are being mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish. So exactly what the advantage of saying it before Uvnu Chayoma, as against saying the drosha after Uvnu Chayoma, I'm not quite sure. So you could say, because then the Kaddish has some connection with the Psukim beforehand. But Uvnu Chayoma is not a capital Tilim, it's a collection of Psukim. Yeah, first of all, an assorted collection of Psukim. And secondly, the Mishnah Berurah says quite clearly that the problem is being mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish, not the problem being mafsik between Uvnu Chayoma and Kaddish. So exactly what we've gained, I don't know. And the final minig is, there are some places where the Rav gives his drosha after Chazoras HaShatz of Musaf, before Ein Kalakenu. Yeah, and that also has all the advantages. The Sefer Torah is in the Heichal, and he's not being mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish. The problem is that by that stage, the Olam is restless. It's nearly the end of davening. They're laying the Kiddush. You can smell the kigel. You can smell the herring. And people are impatient. So it's not a good time for the Rav to have to give his drosha. So those are the five minhagim and some of the advantages and disadvantages. The other thing that we wanted to look at was, what about other times when we say Ashrei? Are we mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish at other times of the day or the year? For instance, Mincha B'chol is perfect. We say Ashrei and we say Kaddish straight afterwards. So that's exactly the way it should be. So a daily Mincha is fine. What about Slichas? Exactly the same. We say Ashrei, and immediately after Ashrei is a Kaddish. So therefore, that's perfect. That's not being mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish. What about Shabbos Mincha? Now there we've got Ashrei, and then we say Uvol Letzion, and Kriyas HaTorah.
That's every day.
What?
You go Uvol Letzion every day as well.
We're coming to that. We're coming to that. What? Yeah, we're coming to that as well. Yeah, we're in Ashrei at the moment. Sorry, we're in Mincha at the moment. So we've done the Mincha, two Minchas and the Slichas. Yeah, so yeah, you've got Shabbos and Yom Tov, Shabbos Mincha. You've got Ashrei of Olatian, and on Shabbos you've got Kriyas HaTorah as well. Before you get to the Ashrei, before you get to the Kaddish, so you've got a lot of hefsek between Ashrei and Kaddish, as you say, every morning. Yeah, let's take first of all Sunday, Tuesday, Wednesday, and Friday. Yeah, so you've got Ashrei, then you've got a Uvol Letzion, yeah, and then you've got the Kaddish, okay? Some people add in some sukkim as well, like Moadish Alores, Vatar Yigdal, etc. And then you've got Kaddish Tiskabel. Yeah, that's if you're what's called that's every day, except for Monday and Thursday. What about Monday and Thursday? What? So Monday and Thursday. One second. You've got Nusach Ashkenaz, right? You put the Sefer Torah back, and then you say Ashrei, and Lam Latseach, and Uvol Latzion, and then Kaddish. So you've got Lamed Seach, yeah, and Uvol Latzion as breaks between Ashrei and Kaddish. Yeah. If it's Nusach Sfat, you've got even more than that, right? Because we say the Ashrei immediately after the Hagba Galila, yeah, Ashrei Vatzir, etc. So whatever happens, whichever way you look at it, at Shabbos Mincha and wherever there's lining, and on a regular Shachris, we are breaking between Ashrei and the Kaddish. Yeah, with Lamaseach and Lamaseach Yancho or Volatian, etc. So the question really is, and that's the question I'm going to leave you with, the three kashas really that I'm going to leave you with. Number one is, so if there is a hakpoda, about being mafsik between Ashrei and between the following Kaddish, which is brought down by the Mishnah Berurah and the Baal Hetev in Simon Reish Pei Dalad, yeah, and because of that he doesn't approve of a Mishnah Berurah for the Kavronim or the Mishnah Berurah for the Cholim being said at that time, then A, why is it the Minhag HaOlam that a Rov says a drosha after Uvnu Chayoma in those places where they do, which is many, many places, right? We have a kasha, is there any difference between Ashrei, the Hefsek, or the possible Hefsek, between Ashrei and Kaddish on Shabbos morning or on Yom Tov morning, as against all the other times when we daven and we say Ashrei, and we don't seem to be worried to insert tefillas like Ashrei, Lamaseach, Volatian, Kriyas HaTorah, etc., etc., right? Is there any difference, if you like, between, is there a hakpoda, not to be mafsik, between Ashrei and Volatian, dafka on Shabbos morning, or dafka on a Yom Tov morning, or does it apply throughout, in which case we need to, what's it called? The final question is that Reb Chaim Kanievsky was asked, yeah, how come that after Ashrei we say Yehallelu and Hoidaleh to Shemoyim, etc.? And he said, well, because that's become the minig, therefore it isn't a problem. And the question is, how do you understand that? We understand that it is a problem. Yeah, and the question is, why has it become the minig? That's really our question, right? If psukim generally are not a problem, then it could be that the Mishnah Berurah, when he says in the Baal Hetev, they're speaking about a Mishnah Berurah for a Chola or Mishnah Berurah for Chevra Kadisha. Maybe that's a sort of a made-up Nusach, it's not Psukim. Does it make any difference if it is or isn't Psukim? So Blineda, we'll have one more Shir Blineda on the subject, and at that time we'll try and iron out all these anomalies and try and understand why the Minhag HaOlam is to be mafsik between Ashrei and Kaddish, even though it seems to be a hakpoda not to do so.